Episode 236. It's Remembering Kenny Rogers, and we'll talk to Matt Ramsey of Old Dominion, lead singer of that group. Kenny Rogers died over the weekend. I guess I saw it Saturday morning. And crazy because I just looked at Kenny Rogers and knew his songs and obviously was a fan, like everybody else. My grandma was a fan, so made me a fan. And then later on in his life and early on in my career in Nashville, we got to be, I wouldn't say friends, but definitely friendly acquaintances where we would make a point to see each other or talk to each other. And so, yeah, woke up Saturday and saw that he had passed away. He was 81 years old. And so I kind of wanted to talk about that for a minute. Which, by the way, I did talk to Lionel Richie today. In the next couple of days, we'll have him. He's just going to do the radio show and talk about Kenny.
Cool.
But he was like, hey, man, I'll do whatever. And so it's just weird that I can just call Lionel. I was kind of
nervous. That's pretty cool.
Well, because I never want to hit up my friends to do my work stuff. It's why I think Luke Bryan comes on the show far less now
than before.
Than he ever did before. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I don't ask my friends to do much. You know, I'd love to have Darius on the podcast. And last night, Darius and I were texting for like 15 minutes. He was sending me demos because he's recording songs. And he's like, man, I'm trapped in the house. I'm doing all this quarantining, so I'm just writing. And he's like, what do you think about this song? And I normally don't listen to demos. But I'm listening to this going, well, first of all, what weird life is this? Then he's sending me demos and going, what does this make you think about? You know, what do you think about this? But then I would never be like, hey, dude, come on the Bobby. I don't know. It's just a weird line to walk. So it's going to be cool to have Lionel on.
That's awesome.
Because Lionel Richie really is the greatest guy. And we'll talk about him coming up in a second because he wrote one of Kenny Rogers' biggest songs. So Kenny Rogers died at 81 years old. By the numbers, he had 24 number one hits, sold over 50 million albums in the U.S. alone, 6 CMAs, 3 Grammys. The Gambler, which I'd mentioned on the show, I think is one of the biggest songs of all time. Because massive song, many charts, multiple movies. He played the character in a bunch of the movies. And this song isn't just about gambling. I mean, it really is a kind of a metaphor for life. Like, think about that. You got to know when to hold them. Like, stay in the fight. Know when to fold them. When to go, all right, I'm not going to win this, so I'm going to put my energy somewhere else. Know when to walk away going, all right, and then know when to run. When to just get the crap out of there. Like, sure, it's about gambling, but that's like a metaphor for life. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. You never count your chickens before they hatch. So 1978, The Gambler comes out, massive song. In 1985, and I talked to him about this in the interview of the show, he was in the original recording of We Are the World, where they're all around. Michael Jackson. Did Michael, look this up for me.
Okay.
Did Lionel Richie write We Are the World?
Oh, good question.
Because maybe Michael and Steve, I don't know. You tell me. If you were going to ask me in trivia, I would say Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie.
You are correct, yeah. Written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie. Produced by Quincy Jones.
I'd have got that right, and I wouldn't have known where it come from, because sometimes I'll just recall things.
How did you know that?
Well, I'll recall things and start questioning myself.
You always do that.
So,
and it's always usually right.
In trivia, I just jump at it, and I miss quick, but also get right quick. But yeah, Lionel Richie wrote We Are the World. Crazy, huh? He co-chaired Kenny Hands Across America, a campaign which sought to raise awareness about homeless and hungry in the U.S., but it was that logo of all those hands holding. Mm-hmm. A bit before you,
yeah.
A bit before me. Like, I can vaguely remember it, I think.
I remember the pop culture references to it, but not it actually happening.
And in that horror movie.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2015, Kenny Rogers announced his retirement. So this is by the numbers. He did, you know, retire to spend time with his family. Here's a quote. There are a lot of things that I want to do together, and I want to create some special memories. I have a bucket list of my own. I have a bucket list I want to do with them. And when he was on the show in 2013, he talked about his young kids, because he had kids again later. His name was Kenneth Rogers. And we'll talk about why he changed from Kenneth to Kenny, because he was going by Kenneth for a long time as a stage name. He was born in 1938. He's a Texan. While his name was Kenneth Donald on his birth certificate, his family always called him Kenneth Ray. He grew up super poor. He lived with his parents. He had 6 siblings. They lived in the projects. And it took him a while to figure out what he wanted to do because he was a star athlete too. But by high school, he thought, I think I'm going to do music. So he bought himself a guitar and he started a group called The Scholars. And what you're going to hear about Kenny, what is interesting is country was later on for him. He was in jazz, in rock. He did all this stuff and then moved to country. Where if that happened today, which it does happen today, people would go, well, you ain't even country. And he's one of the most country. It's kind of a rockabilly band called The Scholars. Then he moved over to a kind of folk style, and he joined New Christy Minstrels in 1966. Now, let me know if we have any clips of this stuff. Because I know some of this stuff is so random. Because I looked for some of this early stuff too, and I couldn't find any of the music except really bad versions. So he left and did a group called First Edition. And it was kind of folk and rock and a little bit of country. Now, I know this song. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
On a jagged sky, I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
That's Kenny Rogers.
Oh, yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I would hear this on the oldie station, and I never knew that that was Kenny Rogers. I knew the song. But they were First Edition, and then it ended up being I don't know if it's Kenny or Kenneth at this point, but they put his name on the front of it too. So in 1974, before we were born, he left the group, went solo, and decided to focus his energy on country music. So at this point, he's been psychedelic rock. He did folk rock. He played bass, stand up bass in a jazz band. And he goes solo, and Love Lifted Me became his first solo top 20 in 1975. Come on. A couple years later, Kenny hit the top of the charts. Here you go. You may know this one. This is Lucille.
You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille.
Man, this is my grandma all over it. It's about a guy being left by his wife. And this song did well in the pop charts, too. It was a top five pop song, got him a Grammy, best country vocal. I mean, he was basically Dan and Shay before Dan and Shay existed. And I mean that in the most loving, like, complimentary way. So Lucille was really the first song to pop him. And, you know, he was super poor still before Lucille, but this hit him and actually made him a little bit of money. And when the song started to hit, he went from broke to being able to buy his own jet pretty quick. Like, it was like poor, 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 poor. Well, bam, in like 2 or 3 months. I mean, buying a jet, that's money, money. That's not a little bit of money. That's money, money. So then we go up to 78, and he released The Gambler. Got a Grammy for that. Obviously, 1983, one of his biggest hits. And again, if you ask me which one is bigger between The Gambler and Islands in the Stream, I don't know. They're both ubiquitous in music. So, what would you say, Mike?
I would probably say Islands in the Stream. I think that's a song even my mom would know.
You don't think she would know The Gambler just from not even music?
I think more so Islands in the Stream. Yeah.
I'm not arguing. Maybe it depends on who you talk to. Because Islands in the Stream didn't have 5 movies made about it.
It's true.
By the way, this song was written by the Bee Gees. One of the Bee Gees. And the Bee Gees was supposed to, they did cut a version of it, but it was after, right?
Yeah, like way later on, like almost in 2000.
It's a tribute.
Mm-hmm.
So it was written by the Bee Gees. Dolly and Kenny cut it. It's massive. Those are the two biggest songs. You know, he also was a photographer. You know what I find is a lot of these guys are just out on the road a lot, seeing a lot of stuff. They're like, what do I do to fill the time? Well, I can do drugs or drink or run or photography. A lot of them will do photography. Ronnie Dunn does photography. Mm-hmm. And so he went all around the country, and he did a book called Kenny Rogers America. And it was a bunch of stuff that he had seen. They did another book called Your Friends and Mine, which was a picture book. He did a bunch of movies, a bunch of TV movies, because back in the day, those were bigger than they are now.
Yeah. You don't see those much now.
Now you see Netflix movies, yeah. Which I guess would kind of be the
new one.
The reinvention of that. He had his own record label. He did the deal, man. In 2013, which is why I got to meet him and spend time with him, was when he kind of started coming back around again, because he released the album You Can't Make Old Friends. And that song I thought was great. They performed that, I think it's a CMAs. Can't make old friends. Tim and Dolly. Can't make old friends. It was you and me since way back when. But you can't make old friends. April 2018, he pulled out of a performance in North Carolina at a casino. And they say, hey, we're going to cancel the final dates of the tour because of a series of health challenges. He said, I've thoroughly enjoyed this opportunity to say farewell to the fans over the course of the last 2 years on the Gambler's Last Deal tour. I could never properly thank them for the encouragement and support they've given me throughout my career and the happiness that I've experienced as a result of that. You know, a lot of celebrities have reacted. Lionel Richie wrote, today I lost one of my closest friends. So much laughter, so many adventures to remember, my heart is broken. He wrote this for Kenny.
Yep.
Lady. And by the way, we would play a lot of Kenny's other songs. He has a ton of number ones. We'd be here all day.
More than fit on this wall.
Dolly Parton remembered her partner. Quote, you never know how much you love somebody until they're gone. I've had so many wonderful years and wonderful times with my friend Kenny. But above all the music and success, I loved him as a wonderful man and a true friend. Here's a clip of Dolly talking about Kenny from her Twitter.
I loved Kenny with all my heart. My heart's broken, and a big old chunk of it has gone with him today. And I think that I can speak for all his family, his friends and fans, when I say that I will always love you. God bless you, Kenny. Fly high, straight to the arms of God.
Here's Kenny Rogers talking about how he found his own niche after he knew he couldn't with the younger artists.
Basically, I'm a guy who's had enough experience and enough age to tell stories. And a lot of the young kids can't do that because they don't have the age and the history. So I think that's my niche, is finding songs like The Greatest, Buy Me a Rose, I Can't Unlove You, songs that maybe some of these young guys can't do, because I certainly can't compete with them in what they do. And I would never try that. I learned a long time ago that you find your own niche and stay there. And then you try, once you get in, you try to expand that envelope.
He was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2013. This is him on getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
He said, you know, I have good news and bad news. And the good news is we're inducting you into the Hall of Fame. The bad news is you can't tell anybody. I said, can I tell my wife? He said, if she's like any wife I've ever known, don't tell her. So we started with that.
Biography Kenny Rogers is premiering Monday, April 13th. And this is a chronicle of Kenny Rogers' life from childhood through the first edition, when they blew up and they fell. The Gambler, pop icon, pop icon. And because of coronavirus, they're not doing a big service quite yet. They say at a later date. He was married 5 times. Woo. A lot of money going out to those.
Oh, that's what you think of?
Yeah. He was married 5 times over the course of his life, with his first wedding taking place in 1958. In June of 1997, he married for his fifth and final time to Wanda Miller. When he died in 2020, the couple had been married for 23 years. Kenny had 5 children. He and Wanda share identical twin boys, which were born in 2004. The odd thing is, you know, despite his most popular song being about gambling, he really wasn't a gambler. I mean, he told me on the radio show that he couldn't win enough to excite him, but he could lose enough to piss him off or something like that. And so he lived with Don Henley for a while from the Eagles. In 1970, Kenny Rogers produced a record for Don Henley before he was in the Eagles. And Don Henley was in a band called Shiloh, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Kenny Rogers lived with him. He was a really good tennis player. Now, it says he was a professional tennis player. I'm not sure what that means. Because to be a professional, you have to go and play for money.
I guess he would play with professionals at that level.
He said that for a period of 10 years, he was playing tennis for about 8 hours a day. And he was even on the road with Wimbledon champions. If you're doing anything, I bet he was ripped.
Yeah.
If you're doing anything athletic for 8 hours a day, holy crap. He's a talented interior designer. And he had a mantra. He's said to have coined the phrase, success is no reason to quit. And he truly believed it. Kenny Rogers was 81 years old. Rest in peace, Kenny Rogers. Holy moly, you gave us a bunch of good music. And we appreciate that. Hey, so I was just talking about Lionel Richie in the last segment and how he wrote Lady for Kenny Rogers. And so I wanted to get him on the phone later in the week, but he just so happened to text me and go, hey, what's up? And I was like, we're in the studio right now. So it's not every day you get a call from Lionel Richie. So I talked to him, and you'll hear it right here, about Kenny Rogers, who he was great friends with. You're going to hear that, the story behind Lady, a little American Idol. So a real treat, a guy that I love being around and has been so cool to me. Here is Lionel Richie. Hello.
Hello.
Lionel.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Bobby.
You okay? Well, how you doing, man? How are you holding up?
Oh, you know, health-wise, like, I'm good. What are you doing right now? Are you just locked in the house?
Listen, I have boulders against the gate. What are you talking about? I have a mask on my cell phone. What are you talking about? I don't trust me.
Yeah, it's wild, especially where you are.
Oh, please. I'm in ground zero of it on the West Coast. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Luke and I mean, we're in Nashville, and it's here, but it's not like it is out there.
No. But the trick is that anything coastal, you know, like East Coast, West Coast, that's where it comes in.
Well, I'm thinking about you. I miss you.
Hey, man, listen, all I told Bruce is, you know, you don't think that God's going to make all this happen for us and then all of a sudden, you know, they take us out. That's not what I want to do.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're healthy and you're good. I want to talk to you about Kenny a little bit because I got to know Kenny later, and Kenny and I became really friendly in the later part of his life.
Well,
and I know you and him were close for years.
Well, you know, let me be very honest with you. I just lost one of my heroes. That is the best way I can describe Kenny. Because of the fact that, you know, I met him at a time in my life when I was trying to figure out life, you know, transitioning from the Commodores into my solo career. And, you know, God sent me an angel because this guy was probably one of the nicest guys I'd ever met in my life, and full of knowledge, full of life knowledge. And he was able to, you know, he was in a group called the First Edition. And everything I was about to experience as a young kid, he had already been through it. And so it was just a beautiful relationship that blossomed into something called a friendship forever. We have lived a lot of life together.
So when you write Lady, how long did you have that? Was that meant to get to him? Was that for you? Like, what was the story between you writing it and him recording it?
Well, it's all about, I think it's about God's plan, because it was actually designed, the melody of it was supposed to be for the Commodores. And at that particular time, I had written, you know, Three Times a Lady and all these other songs. And so the guy said, you know what, Lionel, do you have anything else besides another love song? I said, well, I wrote a religious song, Jesus is Love. He said, well, take that. We like that. That's a good transition from what we're doing. So now I went from having another ballad to now having this thing sitting around. Well, I got a call from Kenny Rogers is saying, do you have a song for me? And I said, Kenny, I'm quite honest with you. I have a song, but I don't have time to do it because the Commodores are going on tour in about 2 weeks, and I'm not going to be able to do it, but I'll do it when I come back. I hung up with the phone. About 3 days later, the drummer for the Commodores fell off his motorcycle, and I had 2 months of free time because he was recovering And I called Kenny back and said, are you interested in that song? He said, absolutely. Well, the funny part about this story is my mumbles. I don't write the words, because if you know anything about writing a song with the Commodores, for God's sakes, you don't finish the song, because in 2 seconds, they will say, we don't like it. What else do you have? So I always would have basically the first verse of it all and nothing else. Well, the song was called Baby, just Baby. Ba 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 ba. Right? And I now go to meet Kenny, and he had never heard a song pitched like this before, because I've never pitched a song to anyone. So I walk in his backstage area of his show, and he said, okay, what's the song? And I said, well, he was telling me about he had just gotten married, and he's never in his life ever, and he's never married. I mean, he married a lady, a real lady, like Lionel. I mean, what am I doing with a lady? Me, of all people, you know. So he said, oh, yeah, by the way, what's the name of the song? I said, Lady. I'm no fool.
Nice.
And then from there, of course, I said, Lady, I'm your knight in shining armor, and I love you. Ba 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 ba. He said, well, I said, do you like it? He said, well, where's the rest of the song? I said, well, no, I'll finish it if you like it. So he trusted me. Of course, he tells that story. You'll hear this story. He'll repeat the story back. He said, I couldn't believe that's all he played for me. And, of course, we went in the studio, and a massive hit. But he always teases me, because while we were recording that song, I wrote 2 songs for him. The first song was called Going Back to Alabama, and the second song was Lady. Well, I thought, just to warm up with Kenny, I'll do Going Back to Alabama first, just to get used to recording with him, and then we'll knock out Lady. Well, we get halfway through Going Back to Alabama. He said, Lionel, I don't really want to sing this song. Let's just sing Lady. Well, I didn't want to tell him I'd only written the first verse. So he sang the first verse, and then I said, you know, I'll be right back. I have to go to the bathroom. And so I'm now in the bathroom writing the second verse to Lady. And, of course, the joke with Kenny was, if you want to get a great hit record from Lionel Richie, make sure he writes the second verse in the bathroom. But, of course, that was the story. But, I mean, it's all true, as crazy as it sounds. But it was just a massive, massive record for both of us.
You know, until I was kind of looking back at some old Kenny stuff, you know, he sang on We Are the World, which you wrote.
Yeah, you know, that was, you know what, that I was very fortunate to, at the particular time, when I went into my solo career, I had Kenny there as my advisor, and the joke was, I was hanging out with Kenny's manager, Ken Cragen. And so when I was looking for a manager, Kenny said, well, I got Ken right here. What do you think about that? And I just segued right to, we had the same manager. So, of course, when I did We Are the World, naturally, with Michael, naturally, Kenny's going to be a part of that no matter what, because I just had to have him in there. And by that time, we were just 2 peas in a pot by that time. And, of course, We Are the World was just one of those, you know, I think every once in a while God kind of possesses you and says, this is what you're really here to do, and the world needs to hear this song, and you need to deliver this message. And, of course, you know, even to this day, someone asked me the other day, am I going to write another We Are the World? And I said, no, I'm just going to play We Are the World again. Because every time I try to write a new We Are the World, I keep writing the same lyrics that I wrote for We Are the World. The message is the same right now. We are challenged, but we are our brother's keeper right now. And we have to make sure that we are taking care of each other, because that's what God planned, and not to be, you know, a tribe and a tribe and a tribe. But we keep being forced to do something together. And right now, this is that time in life to hear those words again. And I must admit, that song resonates today like it did, you know, what, 30-some-odd years ago, 35 years ago.
Well, I know that you and Kenny were dear friends, and I appreciate you sharing the stories about them. And I appreciate you being so friendly and so kind to me. Like, I love you too. You just have been, Lionel, you just have been the best to me. You didn't need to be, but you just have been the best to me.
Well, you know what? I have to tell you something. I've been trained by some very famous people. And when I say that, you know, when I met Kenny Rogers, you couldn't get any bigger than Kenny Rogers. You know, that was the gambler I walked in on. And I must tell you, in less than 15 seconds, he made me feel like we grew up together back in Houston, Texas. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I learned a big trick, and that is, if you're famous, if you're really famous, you don't have to scare anybody to death. You just have to be as nice as you possibly can, because they're already uncomfortable when they first meet you. And I must admit, you were so quiet when I first met you. I figured, I got to cheer you up a little. You didn't make that much noise at all. But, you know, I kind of thought maybe he doesn't want to talk to me. But you are the sweetest guy. And I'm just telling you, now that we're with the show together, I mean, this is just, too much fun. And we were meant to be together. But don't worry. I think we've got a lot more life to go, Bobby.
I think so, too. And you know, I love you. You're so good on American Idol. And
oh, man, back at you. You
still like doing the show? You still love doing the show?
Can I tell you something? I am having, truthfully, the best time ever in my life. I when I first started, I kept thinking, okay, now what am I doing? Because I've got Luke at the other end of the table, and I'm not quite sure what Luke's going to say. And Luke scares me, but he's so funny, and we've become the best of friends. I'm actually... You know, I feel like Luke and Lionel are like Kenny and Lionel. You know, just, it's so crazy. And then, of course, Katie. When Katie scares the two of us, you know we're in trouble. But you know what I must say? I think about your job. You have the tough job. Because after we deal with them in front of us, we hand them back to you, and they're a nervous wreck.
They're nervous going in, nervous coming out.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't know if I could do your job. Your job is you have to put them together to face us and then pull them back together. But I must tell you, I'm enjoying the show. It is a delight. And the most part, I think that the world needs a little compassion when they see us on that show. Those kids are very brave, and I just love kind of being the mentor for them.
I'm going to play us out here. What's your one, Lionel, you have one song. The crowd, it's a stadium. They say you only get to play one song, Lionel. What are you going to play?
If I had to play one song, it'd be my theme song, which is Easy Like Sunday Morning. I think that's just the way I feel.
Man, listen, I love you. I'll see you soon. Be safe, my friend.
All right, my friend. And tell everyone, all the listeners out there, hang in there. This is going to be a rough ride, but God will get us through this.
All right, Lionel. See you later, friend.
All right, my brother. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.